Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Empower Your Life Summit. Now, we are so grateful that you made this decision to join us and give yourself the gift with this special time with these amazing women that you will hear from today. And I hope that you, as listener, are open to the beauty and strength of empowerment. Because when you open yourself to empowerment and you start living it in your everyday life and helping to empower other people as well as yourself, your life becomes magical and things start to flow for you. So I'm so happy that you're doing this and you're interested in this topic. Now, these authors who are interviewing, they are extraordinary women. Actually, they're also ordinary women. They're just like you and me. But they are living their lives in an inspiring way. They are empowered because they feel passion and purpose for something that they're doing in their life. You know, they've had a lot of life. They've lived a lot of life. They've had many ups and downs. And they're here to share their stories and lessons with you to assist you on your own journey of empowerment. So I'm really happy today to be talking with Janie Rako, who is an amazing woman, and what she's doing in this world, I think is super important. So I'm happy that you're listening to this today. I'm going to read a brief introduction of Janie, and then we'll start talking with her. And so I'm so happy to be talking with Janie Rako today. She's an incredible woman who is doing what I think is amazing work in this world. And I know that's why you're listening to this call, because you know about her topic. I'm going to read a brief introduction of Janie, and then we'll get started talking with her. Janie Rako is the co-founder and president of the International End-of-Life Doula Association, also known as INELDA, a nonprofit organization dedicated to bringing deeper meaning and greater comfort to dying people and loved ones in the last days of life. Janie has been a hospice volunteer since 2001. Then, in 2015, she joined forces with end-of-life expert Henry Burscough Weiss to start INELDA. Today, Janie, Henry, and their partner, Jerry Glatter, work tirelessly to bring greater awareness and understanding of doula work. Janie's work as a doula is complemented by her years of experience as a certified emotional freedom technique practitioner, hypnotherapist, and Reiki Level 2 practitioner. And Janie, I really am happy to be talking with you today. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You know, and I do think that this is a really important topic that you are, that we're talking about today and that you're doing in your own life. And your topic today, changing the face of dying, it's a perfect thing to be talking about because obviously we all live in this life, we all die in this life, we experience death with other people who we love, and so this is a great topic. So now, Janie, you are an end-of-life doula. And whenever you and I first talked, I know that you said that. And I thought, wow, that's something I never heard that term before. And maybe many of our listeners haven't heard that either. Will you tell us exactly what that is?
Sure. So kind of like a birth doula who helps bring babies into the world, an end-of-life doula helps the family and the person who has a terminal diagnosis and who is dying exit the world. And in the last days of a person's life, there are so many changes, and especially for loved ones and the person who is dying, this can be a time of fear, physical exhaustion, missed opportunities. And so by using an end-of-life doula, these days can be filled with love, deep meaning, a sense of the sacred. And so we created a program to teach people how to companion and guide during the whole end-of-life process. So that can begin as early as anyone wants it to, if they are diagnosed with a terminal illness, really up until and even after they take their last breath. We are there to companion and guide the person who's dying and the family to help them through this very emotional and difficult time. And what the end-of-life doulas are trained to do is to create meaning and legacy and to remind people that their loved one is still living until they take their last breath. Uh-oh. And so that's how we've created this training program to really educate and teach people how to be with the dying. Wow. Till they take their last breath.
Yeah. I love that. That is so very important because I think that so many people have no idea what to expect in this process, you know, and I understand that you're there with them so you can help them to understand, you know, the daughter or the wife or husband or whoever it is, to help them to understand what might happen in that process. And I know that, now tell me about the people that you train, Janie, I guess. Are they all medical people, or what kind of people can take your training and do this type of work?
Yeah, so our nonprofit has two avenues of training. One is to train hospitals, hospices, communities, organizations, how to have an end-of-life doula program. So we will actually go into a hospital, a hospice, a senior care facility, and even a community that gets together and wants to support their own. And we will train, whether it's in a hospital or hospice, their own volunteers, their staff. If we're in a community, we'll train the community members how to have our three-phase model. And I can go into that in a little while of how we teach people to do this work. So that's one avenue where we're teaching people at these big hospitals and hospices to have an end-of-life doula program. And then the second avenue is we teach all over the country, and actually we just came back from Singapore, all over the world now, people who want to learn to be end-of-life doulas. At first, when we did this years ago, it was very much a volunteer model. So you would go into a hospital or a hospice, and you could volunteer to be with the people who are dying and their families and to help them through this time. And over the last few years, it has kind of morphed into people now coming to us and saying, we want to do this. We want to be in private practice. We want to work with other end-of-life doulas and maybe have some sort of group where we can go out and service the community where we live, much like birth doulas are hired. It's the same thing now for end-of-life doulas. And what we have seen is people from all walks of life. It could be somebody who was in the medical field, nurses, doctors, chaplains, social workers, who say, I want to do this work, as well as lay people who find us on the internet and tell us, you know, I had a sister who died and I was so moved by being with her and sitting with her and helping her through this. I really feel called to do this work and I want to learn more about it, to the exact opposite, where, you know, I went through the death of my father and it was so horrific and done so poorly that I know there must be a better way. So I really want to learn how to do this. And people do that for various reasons. Sometimes to, as I said, work with other people, start a business, volunteer, or to do it with their own friends and family and just to understand how the dying process works and how to make it better, because we're so bad at it right now in this age and time.
Yeah. Now, the training that you do, is it all in-person training?
Yes, we don't really believe that you can do this online personally. There's some great programs out there that do it online, and I'm sure they're wonderful. But for us, it's much more meaningful to do it in person. We go through so many exercises and training in person that is so deep and rich and really exposes who you are in order to get through that and help other people. So our training is over 3 days, and we really feel that it needs to be in person. Mm-hmm. And I can kind of break it out how we do our training. Our model is based on three different phases. The first phase that we teach is what we call summing up and planning. So the first phase is getting to know the person who's dying and the family. You know, who are they? What has their life been about? Tell me about yourself. What hobbies do you have? Of course, they're going to talk about if they've worked, where they've worked, who are their family members, where have they traveled to. And the more we can find out about the person who is dying, the more we can create meaning in their last days, weeks, months, legacy work, which comes out of the meaning. Once we find out who this person is and they tell us all about themselves, we can create a specific legacy that will live on after they have died for generations to come. And so an example of a legacy project could be a scrapbook, a picture album, letters written to future children or grandchildren to be opened at a very specific time and what, you know, the person who is dying wishes for them later in their life. It could be a video, an audio. We had somebody who wanted to do a recipe book because everybody in her family loved her cooking. So she wanted to hand down all of her recipes, and we decided we would take pictures of everybody gathered at dinner and put memories in that too. So all these things you can't think about when you're part of the family going through such an emotional time, but this is what the doula can bring in. And so the more we can find out about the person who is dying, the more tailored we can create a blueprint that we can carry out then also when the person is what we call actively dying. And that's the second phase that we teach, which is called a vigil. And a vigil is when a nurse has now identified this person is actively dying. It's hours to days to maybe 2 weeks. There's no coming back now. This is the time when everybody's fears come out, anxiety comes out, everyone gets nervous and scared because this is so close to losing their loved one. And so hopefully we've created in that first phase of knowing the person what we call a vigil plan. And that's all about how does this person want their death to play out? What is a good death for them? Where do they want to be in the house? Do they want to be near the kitchen, listening to all the action going on around them because hearing is the last to go? Do they want to be in their bed upstairs that they love? Do they not want to be in the house? Do they want to be more in a facility because it's going to be too difficult for their husband or wife or loved one to go back into that house and know that they died in that room? What kind of atmosphere do they want? Do they want a certain scent, a certain candle, a certain lighting, something read to them, spiritual, religious, all these things that are particular to them, we create in what we call a vigil plan to be carried out when the person is actively dying. Mm-hmm. We created a legacy for one woman, and it was a whole book of memories. Her daughter collected things that people said about her mom, and she and her brothers put them all in a memory book, and there were these beautiful stories. And so the doulas read to her mom these stories about herself as she was taking her last breath so that, you know, she could hear all these wonderful things that people said about her, as well as the doulas are trained in the physical signs and symptoms of dying from months out to active dying when we're getting close, so that we know what's happening. We can call their loved ones in if they're, you know, taking a break or sleeping because they're so exhausted. Get some rest. We'll wake you up. We know when we're getting closer. We'll make sure to call you back to the bedside so you are there and you don't miss this. And to make sure that they're not so afraid at what they're seeing, you know, that death rattle, that horrible term for the body breaking down and making these unusual sounds. you know, we're designed to die. Our body knows how to do it. And so if we can be there to inform and educate, everybody calms down and the fears just tend to go away. And then they can concentrate on getting in bed, hugging them, holding them, and saying goodbye.
Sounds beautiful.
So it is beautiful, and it can be so amazing. You know, we've strayed so far in our society, being comfortable with death, understanding death, being around death. So we're just trying to bring that back a little bit so that people can be present without that fear and anxiety.
I love that. You know, Janie, I know that many people on this call have heard people talk about hospice. You know, we all know about hospice. It exists for kind of the same purpose as you, I think, but I'm not really sure. What is the difference between hospice and end-of-life doulas? So, and why do we need end-of-life doulas?
Right. So that's an excellent question, and we get that question all the time. So the doula program really was created by my partner, who worked in a big hospice back in early 2000, and there was such a gap there. Hospice is amazing and wonderful, and I can't sing their praises enough. And in fact, when people come to me and say, I don't know if I should put my loved one on hospice, I always say yes. The services, the support you get on hospice is tremendous, but they can't fill this wide hole and gap that exists because the hospice nurses, the social workers, the chaplains, they have so many patients that they have to see in a period of time that they can't support the family and the person who is dying in the same way that an end-of-life doula can. So the nurse could come maybe, let's say, a person's in hospice in their house. The nurse will probably come maybe once, twice, maybe outside three times a week. I've usually seen it only once or twice a week. And they'll come to check on them. They'll be there for a couple of hours, update on physical condition and what's happening. And then they have to move on to their next patient. That's just the way it's structured today. So when something is happening with the family, a lot of times the nurse isn't going to be there, and that's where the doula can really aid and explain to the family, number one, what's happening, and to spend the time to create this legacy work, to create this vigil plan, to get to know the family and the person who is dying deeply and in depth, when the hospice really would love to do that, and they do it in pieces, but they can't spend that concentrated time. They just don't have that time. And so even hospices have been coming to learn this to fill that need so that they can offer this to their patients too. So it's really hand in hand with the hospice. And it's not just sitting with somebody to be there so they're not alone when they die. It's creating meaningful things all along the way.
Yeah, it sounds, like I said, it sounds absolutely beautiful, and I think that, you know, listening to this, I'm thinking, I might either like to do the training, or I might like to learn more about it and certainly call people in when I have a loved one dying.
Makes all the difference.
For everybody, you know, I think it sounds wonderful. You know, and you mentioned this before when you were talking, Jamie, that our society, you know, we're afraid of death. We are like death phobic. Why are we like that?
So a lot of people who do this work think that the switch kind of happened maybe about 100 years ago when hospitals and nursing homes and when all this new technology came about, which is all fabulous and wonderful, but when people started dying more in hospitals and life was being prolonged because of the advances in technology, some of the ritual aspect, some of the sacredness, some of the commonplace things that were associated with dying really got removed from our society, especially in America. And so we weren't used to seeing people dying around us. Now, advances in medicine, 100, 200 years ago, people died all around you. Communities were wiped out. You lost children. You lost brothers, sisters, family members. That was not good, but it was part of life. Dying was part of the fabric of your everyday life. So now that we have hospitals and nursing homes and we have times when we can visit and times where we can't visit and people are living all over the world and not necessarily so close to family members, so they don't see them when they're dying, perhaps, we're just not used to it anymore. And so we've become fearful. We don't know what death looks like. It's not part of our everyday life. And so we have to be kind of re-educated as to how the dying process looks and to coming back to creating meaning and even ritual around it, because we've gotten so far away from it.
Yeah, it's amazing. So I guess, you know, what you're talking about, and we're more aware of it now too. Like there's, you know, there's death and dying all around us, and it's becoming more, I guess people are thinking about it maybe more, or maybe as we get older, you know, we start thinking about death a little bit more. Some of our friends are dying,
yeah.
Our parents are dying, things like that.
Yeah.
So you say that the end-of-life doula, is that a growing field?
Yes, it's really a growing field. So I've been doing this work for about 9 years. My partner had started this program back in early 2000. And for the last 3 years, we created our nonprofit to educate people about this. And every year we're seeing more and more demand. Our trainings are doubling. The number of people coming are doubling and tripling. As I said before, there weren't that many people that were thinking about doing this as a business. And now that's a whole new field. In fact, it was written up in, I think, Parade magazine. They had contacted us about the next 10 emerging fields, and end-of-life doula was one of them. And so there's so much more talking about it, press about it, and it's definitely an emerging field, and but it's brand new. And so we have to spread the word. Some people have heard about it. Many people have not.
Mm-hmm. That's great. So are there doulas in every state in the United States and beyond the United States as well?
I don't know. I would venture to say it's getting close to that, but we ourselves are creating a directory on our website. So if somebody's looking for a doula, for people we have trained, they are part of our directory, and it is by state, which it's growing. You know, we've had people say, well, is there a doula in my town or in my city? We're not there yet. I mean, that's definitely in the future, but I think as more and more people are learning how to do this work, it will be just like birth doulas. I mean, that, you know, that was about 25, 30 years ago is when that started to get popular. I think end-of-life doulas, it's the same thing.
Well, that's great, especially because we do have such an aging, growing aging population in know, all over the world.
Exactly. So. And people are living longer and not always better, not always quality of life. And that's also part of what the doulas are trying to do is to make that time that they have left better, more meaningful, and with purpose. That so that people are still, even if they are dying at some point, we want them to be living until that last breath, doing something meaningful until then, if they can.
That's beautiful. I love this. You know, Janie, I so appreciate you being here, and I know our listeners do too. Can you please tell us how they can reach out to you or to your organization?
Sure. So the name of our organization is International End of Life Doula Association. They can find us on the internet at INELDA.org. That's the acronym for International End of Life Doula Association. They can contact me at Janie@INELDA.org. And we're also on Facebook. They can find us there, International End of Life Doula Association.
Okay, that's great. And INELDA is INELDA.org. I just want to spell that out
correct
for anybody maybe wanting to write that down. That's great. So, Janie, I so appreciate you being here and sharing this information with us. I appreciate you really also for sharing your story in the book, Empower Your Life, because this is a story that's going to be in the hands of thousands and thousands of people who will definitely be able to use this and be prepared in some way as they get ready for experiencing death with their loved one. So thank you so much for sharing yourself. I really appreciate you.
And thank you. I'm honored to be part of this book.
Great. And listeners, thank you for being part of this too. I know that you're going to take this information and use it in your life to empower yourself on your own life journey. And we ask that you spread the good word about self-empowerment too, because it's something that's an inside job. So do that. And I also ask that you continue to listen and tune in to all of the rest of this summit, and also read that ebook that we sent you. That's an ebook full of tips for everyday empowerment. That was a free ebook when you signed up for this to be able to listen. And also on March 20th, this is our book launch day, where the book Empower Your Life will be available. And so when you buy the book from Amazon on our launch day, so you go to our website, you buy the book from Amazon, then we'll send you right there from a link. You go buy the book on Amazon, and you'll come back and you'll receive about 50 free gifts from our partners and authors, because they want you not only to have this book, but also other tools and things to use in your own life. And this is really an incredible offer, and we would love for you to have this book. So I thank you again for listening in. Continue to empower your life and feel good every day of your life in any way that you can. Thanks you all. Have a beautiful day.